things that come up with that. So again, good morning to everybody. If you're new here to this channel, and I know a lot of people have been checking in with us and saying that they're new and here for the first time, my name is Janet Hickox, and I'm an astrologer, human design consultant, and as well, I work with the Gene Keys and also the Pleiadian Earth Astrology, which, by the way, I didn't even look at for today, except that I do know what's going on with it tomorrow. So let's just jump in. There's really so much to talk about. I don't know that I will get to readings today. If so, then we'll be lucky. If not, then we'll do it again another day. So let me check in with people. Good morning, J-Lo and Amanda and Kimberly. It's great to see you. Amy, hello. Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel, good morning. And she's saying, yes, I will take a card and hit that like button. Good morning, Tom. Good to see you. He survived LMAO. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I'm so excited for you. Glad to see that you survived. And I'm hoping you didn't just check in here today so that you could have a card reading, because I don't know that we'll get there to that today. I'd hate to disappoint you. But we do have a lot to talk about today with the advancing here of a lunar eclipse. And also, I had told you we would talk about how that affects the USA. And as it's the USA solar return, I pulled up a chart for the United States of America. And we can take a look then at what, you know, changes are going on in the dynamics of the astrology for the US. And I know a lot of you aren't here from the US. You're here from Canada. You're here from Europe. You're here from Australia. And I don't often, you know, dabble with charts of nations or charts of events. It's just not the kind of astrologer I am. So I'm going to tell you now, it's not going to be the be and all kind of look at the chart. But there are some key things that I want to pull out, especially because on the birthday of the USA, there is a full moon lunar eclipse. So the an eclipse is a jacked up full moon or a jacked up moon. So here with the eclipse being a full moon lunar eclipse, then what we have is more opportunities to release, to let go, to bring to completion, to end something. And what does that mean in terms of the USA? What does that mean in terms of you personally? So let's take a look here. I have so many papers in front of me now. I've messed them all up. Chart of the moment, that's what I want. So let's start with the moon, and then we'll move on into the lunar eclipse, and then we'll take a look at the USA chart and talk about how that's playing out. And then lastly, if we have time, we'll do some readings. Okay, so today we have the moon in Sagittarius. It is void already at 6:06 a.m. my time, so 9:06 a.m. for those of you in the East Coast, until 9:48 p.m. tonight, so literally all day and into the evening. For those of you on the East Coast, even into tomorrow morning very early, before the moon moves out of Sagittarius and into the sign of Capricorn, the territory where the full moon lunar eclipse will occur. And there's only one aspect, new aspect for the day. It's already occurred, and that was a square from the moon to Neptune. So we're challenged a bit today, because that's the last thing that we were left with. We're challenged today to be clear, to be able to see things clearly. We may feel a little tired, a little lethargic, that's a good word. Tired as in maybe you've had a very crazy series of dreams. I know I have. And maybe you're just, you know, not with it. Here where I live, we've had like 2 or 3 days of almost October-like weather, where it's been, this morning when I got up, we had to turn the heat on in the house because we'd left a window open. It was only 60 degrees in here. That's a little bit refreshing, except when you have to take a shower and, you know, get ready. So it was chilly. And as much as I like those kinds of temperatures, it's July. Hello. Luckily, I think we come out of it this next week. Maybe we'll get some sunshine and some warm weather. So all in all, it just felt sort of like one of those mornings where you just wanted to stay cuddled up in bed. Well, Neptune kind of does that to us, but it does give us an opportunity. And the opportunity is that we can spend the day looking through possibilities of our spiritual dimension. How are we engaged with our spiritual practices? Maybe it's a great day for contemplating what's going on in your chart. Maybe it's a good day for, pulling out maybe your favorite spiritual book and reading it. Maybe it's a great day for looking up some new information. It is definitely not a good day to try to force something new to happen. And it is definitely not a good day to, make yourself have to be on the top of your game. Unless, of course, you're a Neptune type of person. So today might be hard to stay focused. It may be hard for us to concentrate on anything for any length of time. So give yourself a break and just go with the flow of the energy and get out a good book or, maybe draw, do some artwork. It's great for art. It's great for that kind of expression of imagination and creativity. And I found myself already this morning wanting so badly to be able to get back to an art project I've been working on and finding that people are building up circumstances for me where I'm not going to be able to do that. And I was most irritated with that, right? It feels like my time is not my own lately. And what can I do about that, right? And I know that my work time is my work time and I enjoy it. My downtime is the time where it seems like I don't get to do what I want to do. What can we do about it, right? So I just go with the flow and see what it is that the universe is bringing me to, let's say. Now, because the moon is going to be moving into Capricorn, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about the moon in Capricorn, but we sort of need that background in order to understand what is going on with the eclipse. So the highlights of the moon moving into Capricorn later this evening for us on the West Coast, early in the morning for those of you on the East Coast, is that it represents our future security. So time, right? Time. And time here in terms of Capricorn is often the things that we've done in the past that secure our now and prepare us for a future. So for example, Capricorn rules the professional world, right? The career authority part of our charts. So for some of you, you've spent some years building up maybe your retirement, your credibility in the world, your authority in the work that you're doing. And so that is sort of the stock that you bring into the now moment that helps you secure a more stable future. So highlights in Capricorn then, future orientation, especially when it comes to time and maturity. When we have Capricorn energy, it's about being mature, being an adult as opposed to a child, being more focused, more energetic in terms of purpose and goals and ambition. Now, this is also a sign of being responsible. So we have the word responsible, the way it's spelled, the way that I look at it is being responsible, right? Being responsible. And what does that mean? Well, that means that rather than being, the opposite end, Cancer being more emotional and reactive in the way that we move through our lives, Capricorn urges us to become more responsible. And that means that we have to be more self-disciplined and we have to be able to put together plans and goals. And if you really think about the outer world here, no matter what your political leanings are, we here, at least in this country, and I'm sure other countries, had a plan. We had a plan for how to deal with pandemics or epidemics. And we blew it, right? We were not able to respond to the pandemic for various reasons in a way that was responsible. We have not been responsible. We've been sort of playing catch up all along. And that's interesting in light of the number of planets in Capricorn. And I would say that there's a purpose to all of that, right? Because here we are in a full moon lunar eclipse window. And this is the very last eclipse series in Cancer and Capricorn. So it's like finally putting your thumb down on what exactly it is that you were meant to be learning since July of 2018 when we started having eclipses across Cancer and Capricorn. So what's that final push for us to learn? And I don't know that as a country, the USA has necessarily learned its lesson yet. We shall see. The fact that Saturn is retrograde and there's a resurgence in the virus tells me likely no, but maybe this is giving us that golden opportunity to learn finally that lesson of being responsible. And this is also about kind of the opposite sort of end of the coin there, which is releasing controlling tendencies, right? Where we're always trying to, you know, make something happen in a certain way. And so it seems to fly in the face of setting goals and having ambitions, because as soon as you set a goal, the universe sets about to go, well, let's throw this in here and see how you handle that. So we want to release the idea of control, but we do want to have this idea of being able to put a plan of action together and take the steps. But we also need to be able to be more malleable in how we can do that. So if we see, for example, that plan A isn't working, well, what's in plan B that we can bring in, right? So, and this is in your personal life, as well as in the grander, you know, world at large, even in your own life, these kinds of things are happening. So there is also authority figures that Capricorn rules and respect. What does it mean to be in charge? What does it mean to be a leader? So leadership being called into question here. When we look at who we have put as our elected leaders, do they really reflect our values? And do they really reflect who it is that we want to be? Our national identity, our personal identities, and on a personal level, are you giving away your power and authority to other people? Is that a pattern, right? A lot of us had patterns. I know in my younger life, my pattern was to give away my power and then to be really angry that I'd done it and then to react against that person, very self-sabotaging, right? Or to react against that situation. Since, of course, then I've had to learn the lesson of being responsible. And before I knee jerk in anything, I take my time, right? Breathing first. That is how we come to be responsible. That is how we come to have our own authority. And that means that when we do have goals and ambitions, we are very able to take the steps that we need to get there because we're supporting ourselves and not sabotaging ourselves. So it's an interesting bunch of energies. If we highlight Capricorn, of course, there's always the more negative side of a sign and the more positive side of a sign. So when we're looking at an eclipse period of time, what we may see is where we have been overly to one side or the other, where we haven't been balanced in those energies. And then the full moon affords us the opportunity to come into balance, right? To release those things that have not been supportive of us, to complete something, to become more wise. In this case, wisdom is also a part of the Capricorn Cancer experience, about how to balance, as we learned yesterday, the energies of Cancer and Capricorn. We're learning to balance our home life and our family life against our public life or our careers and our professions. So have you noticed then in your own life where things are a little bit off balance either way? If so, perfect time, come together, bring it together, and balance out those energies. So going back really quickly here to YouTube, seeing what's going on out here. Good morning, Laura Hammer. Mimi, good morning. A busy night of dreams, she says. This energy really does feel like downloads. The exhausted feeling is all, it's all good. I know what you mean. And sometimes I wake up and I feel like I've had all of this night of dreaming. And in my dream, it's interesting because my dreams lately seem to be filled with people I don't know, or like people that I know peripherally, like Mimi, how you showed up in my dreams the other night. Sometimes I know who they are. Sometimes I do not. In my dreams, I seem to know them. But the other interesting thing that seems to be popping up in my dreams is technology that I'm not familiar with, like seeing big banks of computers or storage towers. It's weird, right? And I don't know what that's all about. Maybe being able to maybe being able to tap into, maybe it's the Akashic Records. I don't know. But it's interesting that those are the two things, people and technology, that are showing up in my chart. Tom says, what? No cards? Sorry, I just don't have the time for that probably this morning. But if I do, we will do it. Destiny says, good morning. Happy Venus Day. And Laura, it's good to see you. Debbie Tibbetts, Tumiel. Oh, good. Another day to have excuses to chill. I know. Isn't that cool? That's perfect projector weather. Laura Wolfberg, happy holiday weekend, everybody. Laura says, I find other countries' astrologies, even if I'm not from there, that are interesting. We are all affected after all. Indeed. And you know, when you see something happening in a country, so, you know, like last summer, it was their summer. Was it their summer? Our winter, where Australia was having all of those fires, right? It's really good to look then at the astrology of Australia and find out what is it their lessons are in this? What is it that is the trigger point to this? Likely Mars or something, you know, like that happening in Australia. Then if we look at what's going on in Hong Kong, a perfect chart for us to look at might be Hong Kong, as Hong Kong right now in a struggle with China over their rights and you know, China trying to exert their authority over Hong Kong as it's no longer under the protection of the British Empire and or a Britain. I don't know if we need to categorize it as or characterize it as an empire. So, you know, we could do that. And right now the USA is like central point to the virus, and of course our politics and what goes on here has meaning for the whole world, just as what goes on in Australia has meaning for the whole world. We're all in this together. But when we look at the chart of a nation, it's a little bit different way to look at things, because you're not looking at it as, well, in a way you're looking at it as if it were a person. But the parts, the moving parts of the chart, so the planets, have a little bit different focus and meaning. For example, in the moon, in a personal chart, it's very much about your soul's work, your emotional health, what makes you feel comfortable as a person emotionally, what are your emotional needs, etc. In a mundane chart, we call it, when we're looking at a chart of a nation, it is more about the citizens of the country, the public. What is their mood? What are they feeling? What do they desire? What is their focus? And the sun represents more of the leader of the nation. And so we have the ego of the leader. We have the besides looking at the leader's chart, which we could do as well, you would look at who is he surrounded by, i.e. what planets are surrounding him or her in that, and what does that mean for us as a nation. So when we look at the chart of the USA, which we will hear shortly, we know that the USA is a Cancer nation. Why? Because its birthday is July 4th. That's right there in Cancer, which means that this particular eclipse, where the sun is in Cancer and the moon will be in Capricorn, puts it that right across the USA sun and the USA moon, which is in Aquarius, is also going to be interesting for us to look at. Where are the people in that solar return? What's the mood of the people and what are they wanting? So we'll take a look at that in a few minutes. So I don't mean to be USA-centric in this discussion we have today, but it is the chart of the USA, but it has an effect for everyone around the world, just as if we were looking at Canada's chart or Germany's chart or anybody's chart, it would be, or any country's, it would be effective for everybody. Phantom Chroma says, good morning, Deborah Johnson. Hello, happy Friday. Amy, if we don't have time for readings, I did weekly readings on my YouTube. Oh, great. Thank you for bringing that up. She did that for all 5 human design types too, and all 12 zodiac signs. And that is, Amy, type in right now what your YouTube channel is so everybody can go and look at that if we don't have time. Good morning, Kamal. It's great to see you. Okay, so now let's take a look first at the eclipse for you as an individual, right? It's more important for you to know what's going on for you personally. And then we'll take a look at the USA chart. And then again, if we have time, we'll do some readings. So I wanted to take a look at, having trouble finding myself this morning. There I am. Okay, so today, or during this particular full moon, so we have the full moon, it occurs first, and then we have the eclipse just a little bit afterwards. And the eclipse starts here on the West Coast. I think it is 9:45 p.m. And the actual full moon is at, oh gosh, I have it set at the wrong time. So for the West Coast, I have it at 0045. That's midnight. So it's going to be 9:45. So actually, they're pretty much in tandem. And the for us on the West Coast, I think for most of the country, we can see this eclipse. But the height of the eclipse won't be until, you know, later, 10 o'clock or so, 10:30, 10:45 even here in the U.S. Tomorrow night as you know, before it gets up high enough for us to be able to see it. And for those of you on the East Coast, it'll be, you know, midnight-ish. So you should be able to see that as well. It is visible here in the U.S. For those of you in Europe, the full moon does not occur until 4:45 a.m., or at least those of you in Universal Time Zone or GMT, and likely the moon will be in, it will be setting, so it might be harder to see unless you have a clear horizon. So, and likely the full fullness of the eclipse itself might be after the sunrise. So for you, you probably will miss it, but here in the USA, you'll be able to see it. Now, we always look at what is the general energy of the moon and of the eclipse itself. And what is an eclipse? Well, a lunar eclipse is a time where the sun and the moon are in an opposition and the earth passes between. And what we see is the shadow of the earth being broadcast or projected outward onto the moon. So in a way, it dims the moon. So also dims about, makes things a little harder, clearer to see emotionally. And so we can be more emotionally reactive because we're not really taking the time to see clearly what's happening. So you can imagine that we go into today with the moon in a square to Neptune, making things all foggy. And then tomorrow we have an eclipse, and that also brings things back to disclarity or unclarity, not being able to see clearly and not being able to, it's really not being able to feel clearly. Maybe that's more the way that we should characterize that. Now, again, this is the last eclipse in the Cancer Capricorn series for a while across that axis. So it almost might feel, even though it's not as powerful as an eclipse as we've seen over the last two eclipses, this one has a lot of effect because it's the culmination point of all of the Cancer Capricorn lessons that we have been learning. So wherever that axis is in your chart are where the main lessons have been going on throughout the last several, what was it? Did I say July 2018 when this began? And so there's a bit of an overlap, you know, because we've also had, we've seen an eclipse now across Gemini and Sagittarius. That's where the next eclipse series will be. So we've got a foreshadowing of what's going on for the next year or so, 18 months in Gemini and Sagittarius. And at the same time, we're winding down the lessons of the previous cycle. So it feels to us like an intensity, right? There's just a sort of intensity around this. And so it is the last push for you into what is going on across your Cancer Capricorn axis. And so that might see us trying to balance our commitment to home and family or our personal life versus our more worldly selves, our career or professional selves, our outer world expression. And for those people who found themselves overly pointed in the direction of their career or profession, were being drawn back into family affairs. Those who have been too focused in family or being, you know, home issues are being called back into balance with their outer world experience. So we have our career responsibility and we have our home responsibility. We have our responsibility to the outer world as we have our responsibility to our inner world. So both needing to come into balance. Now we also look at the planets that are affecting the sun or the moon during the transit. And we see that the moon is squaring Mars. That puts us in reaction mode. I'm going to just tell you, hands down, if you're in this country, be careful where you go, what you do, who you're with. That the, you know, the moon in a square to Mars during this time can bring up conflict, can bring up arguments. Stay away from those subjects, you know, when you're with other people. Are you even going, is it even a good idea to be around other people? That's another question, right? I know viscerally that there is probably very few people in this country who are going to stay home and stay safe during this period of time, right? That we've been, you know, kind of corralled for too long. So people are wanting to go to those 4th of July barbecues and parties and, you know, swimming and, you know, getting out to the beaches or to the parks. And not that we haven't already been doing that in some way, but it's going to be real easy to say, oh, well, I don't need to wear a mask. I'm out in public, you know, or I'm out in the outdoors. It might be, you know, very easy to keep your hand sanitizer, keep your masks nearby, and just play it safe, right? Just play it safe. We don't want to mess around with the moon squares Mars. It can bring up all kinds of things, even unintended things. And at the same time, the moon is in an opposition to Mercury in retrograde. So we're already seeing, you know, the resurgence of the virus, and we're also seeing, you know, issues around hospitals not having enough room, masks and all of the PPE that the hospitals need, issues like that we thought were done with, resurging, right, coming back. So we have that as well as a part of this particular eclipse. And we have a trine from the moon to Uranus. So there's that unexpected element, right? The part that we just can't predict. Part we can't predict is the part that can get you, that right? It bites you in the butt. And it is a trine, which means that the energies are moving kind of smoothly, maybe even without our knowledge, or maybe even without our getting involved personally. So we want to take care during this period of time. As well, we have Uranus then in a sextile. A sextile is a sort of sharing of the good energies between planets. And this is between Uranus and Mercury retrograde in the sun. So that can be really good. That can be supportive. That can be maybe our seeing some, you know, new information coming out, or something that helps us in technology wise, like a vaccine or something like that coming up. The moon will also be in an opposition to the sun. That's the full moon, right? And with the emotional self being sort of hidden as the earth passes through, it means that the sun has more weight, and the sun represents the ego or the personality. And the ego and the personality sometimes act without a lot of filters. And when you put Mars there, it can be reactionary energy instead of taking our time to respond to what is showing up, kind of losing our minds a bit in this whole process. But in the end, this can also be pointing us in the direction of a fresh start, right? It is the end of that Cancer Capricorn axis of eclipses. So for some people, it can be at the end of a long struggle between, you know, pulling you in two different directions, mostly family and commitments to work or to career or being out in the world. For some, it is, you know, meaning that finally you have that nurturing piece in place, nurturing self and family as much as your career path. So it can be the beginning of some really good things in the dynamics of the astrology. In the USA chart, maybe it's the beginning of our finally being able to see that you have to nurture the people, that the people are important here in all of this, and that taking care of their needs, right? Making sure they have enough of everything that they need. I'm thinking food, I'm thinking, you know, shelter, I'm thinking money or income, I'm thinking, you know, health facilities, I'm thinking education, all these kinds of things that Cancer energy would really, you know, do well at, juxtaposed against that corporate world or the government world that Capricorn represents. So how do we, you know, become self-reliant, but also have a government that supports the people? That's been a balancing act that we've been playing with. Okay. Now, remember too, in your own natal chart, that Cancer Capricorn axis can be across any number of houses. And we talked about those axes yesterday. And we even did a few examples of looking at the astrology of the day's chart as a person, and if we had a full moon across Cancer and Capricorn, it's not necessarily going to be in the houses that represent home and family versus your outer world self. It could be playing across money. It could be playing across the health sector, mental and physical health. It could be playing across the self-expression, you know, communication in the mind, our mental axis. So we saw that we can have this being placed in many different areas in the chart. And it's up to you to take a look at where this balancing act is going on in your own chart. Being able to say, oh, this is happening across my financial picture. So maybe I need to really, you know, get that clear. Make sure I have enough put away for a rainy day. Make sure that I am able to reduce my debt and to really have a nest egg kind of thing. And if it's across your health sector, making sure that anything to do with your health is under advisement, right? You're taking care of it and taking care of yourself as well as your own personal health, as well as the family's health kind of thing. Okay, so Amy, just Amy Energy. That's right, Amy Energy. I'm using it now, so it will be the same little photo. And Mimi says thank you to you, Amy. Mimi says thank you, Amy. Destiny, it's on my ascendant descendant, ready for this 2-year series to be done. That's funny, Destiny, because it's the same thing for me, right across my ascendant and descendant. Right now at 13 degrees, it's going to be more across my 12th house and 6th house. So there we have sort of, you know, that's the physical and mental health access. And so of course, that's where my focus will be on both of those. And Debbie says, I'm staying home. Asa says, namaste, beautiful soul. She's listening in the car. Hello, Monique Alexander. Tom says, wear a body condom. I don't know what that would be, Tom, but too funny. Amanda, just wrap in bubble wrap. There we go. Ursula, good morning. Good morning. So everybody's here, I think, with us. The gang's all here. I'm not sure where my husband is. He's not out there this morning. I don't see him. Destiny says, LOL, we've got this, Janet. Yes, we do. We've got this in a big way. Okay, so are you ready? Let's take a look at the chart of the USA. So hold on here while I pull that chart up. I think I have it opened up. There we go. Now, what makes the USA chart interesting, of course, is that there are a couple of different charts that people use. I'm going to use the one that I found the most people used out there, and it is called the Sibley chart. Sibley was an astrologer, and I think he's the one that actually did the rectification of the USA chart, because we didn't know exactly what time on July 4th, 1776 that the Declaration of Independence was signed. So this chart kind of gives us an idea that it was at 5:13 p.m. in the local time zone, which, you know, in 1776, there was no daylight savings time yet. Benjamin Franklin had thought of the idea by that point, but nothing had been done about that. So 5:13 p.m. is the chart. It gives the USA a Sagittarius rising, 13 degrees, almost 13 degrees exactly, Sagittarius rising. And in that case, then, it kind of mirrors our 13 degree Cancer Capricorn eclipse that will be happening. And how does that play in? Because I like to look at where other planets are that match that degree, right? That sort of show up in that same span. I'm going to make this chart a little bit bigger, I think. Hold on here. There we go. And then I can do this. So it still gives you an idea. Now let me just orient you to what chart we're looking at here. So on the inner wheel, this is the natal chart of the USA. So we see here we have a 13 degree. You can't really see it because it's not listed, but it is very darn close to 13 degree rising in Sag. And isn't that interesting? Because it also means that the North Node and South Node now in Gemini Sagittarius are going to cross over the Ascendant and Descendant in the United States chart, albeit not for a while yet. You can see here it is right now at 29 degrees, the South Node, and it's going to take a few months before it crosses over. And my take on the South Node crossing the Ascendant would be a reestablishing of the values that this country was built upon, going to our past and looking at the underlying values. So when we looked at equality, when our declaration was about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, what did that mean? And are we living that? And that, of course, will be happening not until next year sometime. But also, you know, we are in the throes of our Pluto return. And that's also playing into this whole transformation going, you know, when Trump was running for president in 2016, it was all about make America great again. And I totally rejected that because I saw that the United States and every country is great in its own way and in its own expression, that there was no need to make America great again. But what I thought it really should have said was take America back to her founding values. And where are we out of alignment with those values? That'd be too much to put on a hat. But I think it's more an appropriate explanation or expression of what it is this country is in the throes of than make America great again, right? I think he missed the mark making it all about nationalism. I think it was more like, hey, people, we have, you know, strayed from our values, you know, the, you know, teeming masses yearning to break free, all of that. And in some ways, you know, there's a lot of discussions we can have around that. But let's just get back to this chart for a moment before I get off on a tangent here. So we see the South Node in this particular chart transiting into Sagittarius. The North Node would be in Gemini, and that will have an effect on us, albeit not at this full moon eclipse, but sometime here in the near future. Now, when we're looking at this chart again, this is the chart of the birth of the country. Then these are all the signs and how they were aligned at that point in time. Now, a solar return is a snapshot, like a camera, a Polaroid, of the moment that the sun returns to the place it was at in the chart of the US. So I'm going to make this bigger again because I need to see when the US was born, the sun was at 13 degrees, 19 minutes. And this eclipse is going to happen at 13 degrees, 38 minutes. I can't make this up. I mean, it's going to be so close. It's like on top. So we have that going on. And this particular part of the chart then shows that if this was a birth chart, a new chart for something, you know, born on that day at that moment, that this is how the houses would play out. And in a solar return, then what we're seeing is what are the themes that show up for the year ahead, and that we would see out here. And then what house by the natal chart is going to be affected by that transit. So here you see, let's go over here, the sun in the solar return in the eighth house of death and rebirth. Isn't that interesting? And it's affecting the seventh house of partnerships and business relationships, marriage. What's the relationship status here in the country? And I would bet that in a chart of the nation that the seventh house is actually more about our open enemies. Because this house, the seventh house, even in a regular person's chart, can represent the known enemies of your known enemies and how are they affecting you. So here we have this idea of perhaps in the birth chart of the United States, a tendency to maybe see things through the lens of friends and foes, right? Friends and foes. And then we have this eighth house solar return. When I would see an eighth house solar return for a client, I would be saying, wow, this is a year of transformation for you. Trans, change, form, changing the physical form of something, and the state of changing form. That's what transformation means. So this shows us that the theme, the biggest theme with the sun during this period of time is about transformation, right? Changing the form, dying to something in order to be rebirthed to something else. And an eclipse does not make this any easier, right? And I mean, if I consider the sun as the leader of the country, is this the death of a leader? Is this the death of someone prominent, literally a physical death? Or is it the change of heart that we go through as people? You know, maybe we see a huge transformation in our current leader. Or it can also point to a transformation in the leadership of the nation. And of course, with an eclipse, all things are possible. And we have an election year this year. And so that energy, even though it's happening here on the USA's birthday, it still holds as a theme for the entire year from birthday to birthday. The themes, the underlying themes don't change, just the way it shows up might change. So this can be a change in leadership. This can be a change even in terms of the values. Note the sign. I think we'll see that the sign that this is in is a more nurturing form of government, perhaps a more nurturing aspect of the USA. But also when we talk about Cancer energy and it's nurturing and it's protective and it's more compassionate, humane energy, we also see the more negative expression of it, which is overly protectionistic, overly nationalistic. It can be an overabundance of security and overabundance of safety. So in the U.S. chart, we're always in balance of the rights of home and family, meaning, you know, the nation and its people versus corporations and government on the other side, right? So you could say even you see this sort of struggle that we have as a nation between what we expect of our government and the freedoms that we expect as people, and then our expectation that the government back that up based on our constitution. And so we often are seeing this fight in this country about our rights, right? Gun rights, journalism rights, the free speech rights, the right to be able to protest and demonstrate. So on and on, right? This country is always in the throes of that kind of energy. And isn't it interesting too that in the shadow of this eclipse, that we're still dealing with the Black Lives Matter and equality issues. Equality issues. Why are we still dealing with this, right? Why does the color of one's skin create this feeling that they're other, they're different, they're not American or whatever it is, that they're not as good as we are or whatever that's all about? I mean, I just don't even have an ability to resonate with that. But here in this country, it's still an issue. It is still an issue. And one likely that isn't going to change, except that it's in the process of transformation, right? That's what this is all about. Now, when we look at the other end where the moon represents the people of a nation. And the people of the nation moon is in Capricorn. We're looking for leadership. We're looking for someone to freaking step up to the plate and be an adult, right? I think that every person I would talk to, whether you support the Republicans or you support the Democrats, the one thing that I think all of us would have in common is we want a leader, right? Someone who is willing to step up and be responsible and not reactive, to lead us, to guide us. We need a projector perhaps here, and, you know, somebody that, although, you know, projectors need so much time for rest, that's difficult. But we need someone that we can trust, right? That is another issue here with Capricorn. Remember, Capricorn is about authority figures and being responsible. And part of that is being responsible, is being trustworthy. And that's what the people are looking at, wanting here, someone who is going to show up and really be in response to what the needs are of the country. Not take over power, bowl everybody over, but to step up and lead, right? You can't lead by creating chaos and discordant energies. But then again, we have this moon, the public moon, conjunct Eris in the natal chart of the American, the Sibley chart. So the moon conjunct Eris, the people are in a discordant mood. The people are getting sick and tired of all of this, whether it is the dealing with the virus, dealing with the divisions, the polarization, the people are sick of it. And they're looking for someone to step up to the plate, someone who is going to be coherent, so, someone who is going to take responsibility and really start that leading, guiding. And I'm not sure that this is a time yet where we're going to roll into that, but it might be a time where we can really see the American people almost stepping up and becoming more response-able, right? In voting, in being activated and activists for what it is that they want, calling up their own power, their dollars, their time, their energy to put it towards something. And when I first looked at this, this was a couple of years ago, as I started looking at what was coming up, I thought that this was more about power to the people in terms of grassroots movements, where it picks up power and it picks up steam, sort of like the Me Too movement or the Black Lives Matter movement or even the Occupy movements. And those have a more negative and chaotic sort of energy attached to them at times. But it is the first steps that we're taking as people, as citizens of the country, to take back our power, to make our voices heard, right? To step up to the plate and to say, you know, this is what we want. We don't want that anymore. We don't want all of that BS. We don't want all of that division. We want everything back to our values. And then if you look at what house that the moon is in on the solar return, it's in the second house of the values of the nation, right? What are the values of our nation? What were they built on? What are the capstones that, you know, the cornerstones that we built our nation upon and this nation? And, you know, remember the times that the U.S. has been a shining example to the world of what could be when we worked together, when we acted humanely, when we welcomed people, when we took care of people, when we, you know, and then somehow we've gotten away from those particular things. So we need almost a revision, a re-envisioning of what did those cornerstones mean. And how do we bring them and modernize them, you know, and apply them to this modern world? So I see that we are in the throes of that as well. Now, the one part of the chart that really concerns me besides this, it's not, I mean, this has been in action. I don't see anything particularly new here, except it is extraordinary. I think that the moon, the people are in a very discordant mood. And I think politicians beware here, because that's going to be a big thing when we go to the polls. It could also mean an interesting end to the elections here, and maybe not what we expect, but we'll talk about that again in a minute. If I pull this chart up here and we start to look at Aries in the chart. So during the period of time that Mars is in Aries, so that started June 27th and doesn't end until we get into 2021, and Mars is retrograde during part of this time, it will be Mars comes to the fourth house of the chart on the birthday of the US. So Mars at 4 degrees of Aries in a sign he rules kind of tells us in the house of home and family and traditions that there is a war going on here. This to me looks like civil war. And civil wars don't always have to be fought with guns and with people killing people. But indeed, there is some form of conflict or war going on here. We're at war with a virus. Perhaps we're at war with one another politically. We're at war with one another ideologically. And now Mars in Aries, after this period of time, becomes very activated in the chart. And over the next few months, especially August and September and October, I believe it is, begins to, and early in November for the election, he begins to square or challenge the planets over here in Capricorn, which at that time will be Jupiter, Pluto, Pallas Athena, and Saturn together again right here on top of the USA natal Pluto. That means big transformation, big fight, big problems, big potential for being dragged into the underworld before we can come out and be reborn. So it's also on the high side, on the high side, like the good side. This could be representing a rebirth for this nation, right? A waking up, coming back to our senses kind of energy. But that means that we are looking in this country at a time period that's going to be very much filled with conflict and probably a lot of division that's almost over the top. And usually when that happens, it, you know, sort of is leading to a crescendo and it explodes, right? And then peace can happen. But it may take time to get to that piece. So I look at this, and while I think it is energetically akin to a bomb going off for us here in the U.S., it is also likely what breaks the spell that we've been under in this country around division and polarization. And maybe, you know, we need that very thing to bring us out of that old way of being into something new. And I also want to show you that the USA has a Venus in Gemini. It has Mars in Gemini. It has a transit now of the North Node moving through Gemini, which is going to trigger those parts of our chart. It's likely going to create some, you know, interesting dynamics, right? So we have some interesting things ahead for us. It looks like we also have a Uranus in Gemini and a Venus coming to that Uranus here shortly in the eclipse, excuse me. We have Venus and Uranus in a conjunction. So something more, maybe another financial hit, some financial surprises. And our natal Venus is in Cancer, not Gemini. But our natal Uranus and our natal Mars, both in Gemini. And as the North Node is backing in, the first planet it's going to hit of the USA's is going to be Mars. That probably won't be until the beginning of 2021. So whatever the results of the election are, we may not even have clarity until January or maybe even February. I'll have to look up the date where that occurs. So some craziness, right? We also have Chiron moving through Aries, and the natal Chiron is in Aries. And yikes, we have the Black Moon Lilith also moving through here and Eris moving through here. It is changing the dynamics of our foundations. That's where I think I saw that idea of applying the Constitution and the laws that our founding fathers created and applying them now in modern ways and reinterpreting them in modern ways. So that's a lot, I know, that's a lot. And I'm hoping everybody understands. I'm gonna take a quick look over here, see how everybody's feeling about all of that. A war for civility. Ooh, that's a good one, I like that. A war for civility. And okay, I gotta go back, lots of comments here. Tom, I don't know where Terry is. That's too funny. So Amy, yes, we've got this. Tom, Amy, what are those? They look rude. Those are muscles, right? Muscles. We have muscles. Taylor, OMG, this chart looks like mine. It is pretty interesting sometimes when you look at your own chart and you see, you know, the similarities to the USA chart. Note that I didn't show you this, but the USA has a natal moon in Aquarius, 27 Aquarius, I believe it is. And who's going to be in Aquarius over the next 2 years? As we get into the winter solstice, Jupiter and Saturn, both conjunct at 0 degrees of Aquarius. And it won't be for a while yet, but sometime in the 2021-2022 window, Jupiter is going to conjunct the USA moon. And that should take us right up to almost the point of the Pluto return, which is in February of 2022. And, you know, it doesn't matter because Pluto moves so slowly that it's so close right now, right? We're in that return. It's not something that happens on a day. It's a period of time. But maybe I think that might show us that halfway point where we are in the throes of that new birth. Tom, in which America? North, Central, South? Tom, I don't even know how to respond to you. You are levity at times, but other times I just don't get you. All right. So Tom says, France, for example, has birthday in July. So does Canada. I know. Isn't that interesting? Mimi, a war for civility. I like that. That's a great way to look at it. Kamal says a war, by the way, between India and China. Oh, yikes. We could look at this in all different kinds of ways. Marjorie, power to the people in transformation requires people to take responsibility and wake up. Such an exciting time to be here and to witness. Exactly. There's so much potential here. But I think the people, we have been dumbed down. We have been, I'm not sure how to characterize this. When I think about what goes on here in this nation, we are a nation built on capitalism. And so we spend a lot of time buying and a lot of time in sort of that competition of who has the best toys, right? Who has the best car, buying bigger and better houses, bigger and better cars, more stuff, right? There's that, there's this kind of fixation that we have on that. And then as well, we've been dumbed down with things like fluoride being put in our water, or, you know, pollution being thrown into the air and other pollutants into our water. And we're ingesting those pollutants, those toxins, and they act on the brain to dumb it down. We have television and phones and technology that acts to numb us out, right? Any of you who have teenagers or kids at all that play video games, right? They get into this virtual world and they're living through this virtual world, and you could come in and, you know, clap your hands in their ears and they don't even respond. They are so numbed out to what's going on. I watched this with, you know, with my kids. They were at the cusp of this, right? That wasn't quite their reality yet. As they were teenagers, my boys, especially in teenage years, that's where, you know, there were a lot of games that were, you know, those real games, with virtual reality type games. And they're so involved. You're living an entire life in that virtual reality. And then you come back to this reality and you go, oh, I like the virtual reality better. It feels more under my control. And so we've numbed out, we've dumbed down. Look at education and the expectation for our students in this country versus students in, say, South Korea or any of the other Asian countries. Now, I'm not advocating that we take our kids and we turn them into education, you know, wizards, but I am saying that in some way we've watered down, diluted the mind of the people. And likely so that we wouldn't rise up, we wouldn't ask questions, we wouldn't sort of look at, you know, what's going on here and say, we're the ones, right? We're the 99% here. And, you know, we have the power and we want to take action. So when the people rise up, as they did in 1774 to 1776 with the American Revolution, they change the world. So people, it's time to rise up and change our world. I'm not saying that we have to do it with guns and we don't have to do it with war or bombs or whatever. We can do it with our own quiet sort of Martin Luther-esque way of looking at Martin Luther King Jr., excuse me, way of looking at, you know, peaceful Gandhi even, way of rising up and taking back our power, demanding that things change. It's going to have to come from us because the government isn't going to give it to you. It isn't going to, they have no, there is no incentive for them to do that. They have no incentive, right? It's a game that they're playing with money and with politics and power. And yet, you know, we've kind of dumbed ourselves down enough that we either we see it and we don't know what we can do about it, so we don't do anything about it, or we don't even see it. And we just go along buying the next toy, getting the next, you know, cool gadget, or, you know, playing our video games or watching TV or whatever it is that we do. So we got to bring our power back. Anyway, Angela K, I'm thinking about how this country was filled with indigenous people before its birth as USA. I'm wondering, how does the original birth and original people's ways interplay here? Good question. I don't know that we can really answer that. I don't know that I can answer that, Angela. I'm sure there are people out there that can answer that. Because I'm not so sure that the birth of the USA is the appropriate chart to look at. I mean, I think there's something bigger in the wider evolution of consciousness that was going on with that, because it wasn't just here in the USA that happened. I mean, all along, every country, as history moves through and there's battles and wars, the dynamic of the nation or the territory or the continent changes. And that includes the indigenous populations as well as, the new people that come in. So that's a bigger, wider discussion, but I think it's worth thinking about, you know, how that happened and what was taken away from those people in manifest destiny, right? That's what that's usually called, manifest destiny, where, you know, this country sort of had license to just expand and move ever west, right? It's that we still have that same sort of idea with conquering the moon or conquering Mars, right? Instead of, you know, being more home-centered, we're really looking outside of us to keep conquering, to keep exploring, to adventure. There's something in that adventurous heart. Remember, the USA has a 13-degree Sagittarius rising. So part of its personality is in that adventure and that exploring. And so that's a part of all of it. All right, guys. So I'm going to see if there's any other questions here. Chart reminds me of the I Ching. The I Ching, yes. I heard another gal say that the Pleiadians are going to assist those who receive the tech of solutions for the 5G radiation concern. But that was all that was said at this time, to be calm. Tom, you just said something very profound there. With all the retrograde planets, the real adventure is for us to go inward. I don't know that we can go forward if we don't go inward and we don't really look at what role are we playing as individuals in this dis-ease, in this discordance, and how do we solve that? Right. And we solve that by really becoming more at peace, more centered, more loving, more compassionate, more aligned with spirit, and using principles of love. And the one person that came closest to even expressing any of that was Marianne Williamson, in terms of here in the U.S. of people who were stepping up to the plate to be the leaders of the nation. And you know, she was basically called a whack job. and yet there's something there when we can throw that kind of verbalization at somebody. It is the rejection of our own inner self that we're throwing out there for us to see. So yeah, there's a lot that we have to do inwardly to look at. How do we course correct? Well, we course correct by coming into alignment with ourselves, being responsible, right? And looking to become self-sufficient, having your own self-determination to move forward in your life with your own focus and your own passions and your own gifts and your talents and moving forward in that direction. Okay. So Marjorie, the Pleiadians going to assist those. I have off there. This is so me just sort of tapping in sometimes to the galactic center. I see a split coming in reality almost. And that on one hand, it's not just the nation of, it's not just the USA, but the split in humanity where, I don't even know how to verbalize this. Maybe if you think of, you know, the people who are willing to move forward and move up, ascension kind of things that are, you know, moving into one dimension, and those who, you know, are still working out the karma and their decisions to be in that division and polarization, staying in this particular focus. Again, that's going to be, I think, determined by us as individuals. I don't know. We shall see, but there is an evolution going on. We are being pushed in a specific direction of becoming more responsible and more, emotionally evolved. So that is the big thing. Did you read the devotion message this morning? Is that from A Course in Miracles or what? I don't think I've seen it yet. And I don't know what you're referring to, Taylor. So give me more information there. Marjorie says soul work and meditation has been my focus all of June. I think it's going to need to be our focus for a long time. The retrograde planets do, they bring us inward, right? They show us where we have work yet to do. And it's not just that they bring us inward for work inside. It often takes us back to the past and shows us where we have things that are undone. And that's why we see maybe people coming back to us from relationships that we've had in the past or issues that we've not quite finished healing come back to us. So we have a lot of retrograde planets, which means there's a lot of for us to take a look at on a big, you know, wider world scale and also on an individual scale. From the wisdom stories, the one from yesterday. Oh, I didn't read it. Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm going to take the time to read it. Thank you, Miss Taylor, for that reminder. It was the first thing I was going to do this morning and then I didn't do it. Okay. There's just so much other stuff to talk about. So what Taylor is speaking to is our sun at the gate of dynamism. Here's our wisdom face, right? Dynamism, the gate 39. And if you take a look, you can see lots of really great symbolism in this person's face. I love the blue jewel on the throat center, speaking from wisdom and love. Let's take a look at the story. Let's see if I can see it. I'm going to change the light a little bit here. Okay. It's just so dark, right? So dark outside, it makes it dark in my room. Okay, here's the wisdom story. Remember that the shadow of this gate 39, where the sun is provocation. The gift is dynamism, and the highest expression of it is liberation. And it says, if you do what you truly love, you will unleash your creative dynamism. And the more creative you are, the more energy becomes available to you. Amazing. Everyone called my father a saint. At church, he was a dynamic and passionate preacher. At home, he was strict, mean, and provocative. We weren't allowed to play like the other kids. We had to study scripture and help around the church. If we misbehaved or acted childishly, he threatened us with fiery damnation. He knew just what to say to instill the fear of God in us and just how to say it. While my siblings nodded, yes, sir, disappearing into passivity, frozenness, and fatigue, I felt trapped and got angry. I had a mouth on me too and constantly called out his hypocrisy. Once I yelled, "You're no saint. Having you as a father is hell." My words got him so mad he struck me with a belt. Afterwards, instead of apologizing, he said he only wanted to keep me out of trouble and from being damned, but I didn't buy his excuses. When I left home, I promised I'd never be anything like him. And I became a man. As I became a man, I used the sharpness of my tongue to criticize his religion, to defend my choices, the way I lived and loved. For years, though, we never saw each other. I was wrapped up in a massive power struggle with my father. Then came the call. My father was dying. It was time to say my goodbyes. I walked into his bedroom, and there he was, so small and helpless, and not at all the man I'd been so busy fighting. Unable to speak, he looked up at me and smiled. For the first time in my life, I saw the child in him that was never allowed to play. I saw his love, his sorrow for how he treated me, his desire to keep me safe from the pain he'd experienced. I was overcome with love for the man. For the next miraculous 20 days, I never left his side. I read stories to him, played games with him, and sang songs to him. And we laughed. When I sang his favorite gospel song, one I hardly knew I remembered, he drifted off peacefully to sleep. The day my father died was the day I welcomed back the fire of creativity and passion into my soul. Today I am a preacher with the blessed job of instilling in people not the fear of God, the love of God. In my church, all are welcome. Heaven is experienced right here on earth. My father's spirit speaks straight out from my heart, and together our words set people free. My gift to you, I come to tell you that it doesn't matter how bad your upbringing was. All unhealthy conditioning can be reversed. You can contribute to the field of violence in our world by provoking others or allowing yourself to be provoked. Or you can explore your passions and unleash your dynamism, your genius, by simply letting yourself be and play. Remember, genius isn't unusual. It has nothing to do with knowledge or the mind. It arises the moment you allow yourself to do what you love. It is time for you to allow your horizons and breath to expand. If you provoke anything in the people around you, may it be their creative spark and a deep sense of liberation. Questions for contemplation. Where do you feel trapped or imprisoned by fear in your life? When you were a young child, were you allowed to enjoy and express your dynamism and vitality, or taught to subdue it? Does your anger ever get the better of you? Do people sometimes feel provoked by you and you don't always understand why? When was the last time you tasted true liberation? Think of something that you loved to do or play when you were a child, age seven and under. Spend some time engaging in that activity today and notice how it feels. Lovely. Let me check something here really quickly. It is, am I in July? Oh yeah, I am. So the 7th is on Sunday. We change. Okay, so I'm going to read the second story as well, which is where the earth is at the gate 38, which is perseverance. And here is the face there. Look at the star on the third eye. Kind of love that. All the beautiful blues. Just such a pretty card. And this is the place that the earth is at. So this is the shadow, the cast by the earth during this period of time. All right. And gate 38 says, by the way, the shadow is struggle. The gift was perseverance, and the siddhi is honor. And it says, over time, through perseverance, love, and trust, you will eventually attain victory and experience your own divinity. My wisdom story. My older brother died when I was just a child. My mother went into a deep depression. As a boy of action, I fought with all of my might to pull her out of her grief, but her pain consumed her until she ended her own life. Her act of utter defeat was unthinkable in our land. I heard people talking and it made me so angry my whole body shook. Not knowing what to do with the overwhelming tension I felt, I started fighting wherever and whenever I could feel my impact. I loved the feeling of exerting my body. Fighting and winning gave me a sense of purpose and power. But sometimes I took my aggression out on helpless animals and my younger siblings. I became addicted to the struggle and rarely knew when to stop. I guess that's not so good there, lighting wise. Not knowing to do with the as I grew older, I became a powerful warrior with a gift for inspiring others to act. But my personal feelings often clouded my judgment. Once I led a whole army to war because someone from another village insulted my mother's honor. Many people were injured, even killed, at my insistence. Just before we launched another attack, a young boy from the warring village, the same age as my older brother was when he died, ran up to me and flung his arms around my waist out of pure desperation. He pleaded with me to end the feud, crying, "Why are we fighting? I don't understand." As his question penetrated my deaf ears and hardened heart, I woke up. I started breathing again. I hadn't even realized just how tight my chest had been for years. He was right. I knew in that moment that if my mother were alive, she would never want me to kill innocent people to defend her honor. There was already more than enough suffering and struggle in our village, and there I was, her son, fighting for everything that didn't matter. I wasn't honoring anyone. That's when I realized that deep down, I'd come to believe that if I had nothing to fight, I'd disappear just like my mother did. Just like my brother, everything changed after that. I took that sweet boy under my wings, and now we only fight for causes that are worth fighting for, those that are for the good of the people and the earth. My gift to you. I am here to call out the sacred warrior in you. It's time to persevere, to be the heroic underdog. Do not give up the struggle. Just be sure that when you're fighting, that you're fighting the right fight. Obstacles are a natural part of life. They are here to test your commitment, hone your abilities, increase your aliveness, and unleash your life purpose. It is time to embrace your defeats. Let them make you stronger, more resilient, and supple. You have the potential to turn a battle into a dance, to empower the people you love, to liberate themselves from victimization. When you fight for love, not fear, everyone wins. There is no need to overthink or worry about appearing foolish. Now, go find a cause that you can pour your whole heart, body, and soul into. Questions for contemplation. Where in life are you fighting yourself? Does self-blame or a strong inner critic often leave you disempowered and depleted? Are you afraid of fighting, even for a worthy cause? Do you tend to fight for the wrong things and the wrong people? Does a combative style sometimes sabotage your relationships? What is a cause worth fighting for? Think of a time you persevered and you were glad you did. How did the experience feel, and what did it require of you? And lastly, take a stand for something or someone today. Honor what truly matters. Great energy, great reminders. Lastly, the Pleiadian Earth energy, totally forgot this, that during tomorrow's full moon lunar eclipse, we're in the 13, right? We're in the last day of the cycle that began I'm going to go back and tell you what day that was. It began, I have to go back to June. It began with one enlightening on June 22nd. And what we're moving into then on Sunday will be one exploring. So we're moving out of, hopefully this 13-day period has brought a lot of light to us, right? To us being able to see more than what we've seen before here, what more is possible, right? The 13 will show us ascending through choice, because it's 13 choosing. So it means that we have a choice, and that choice is very important, right? What do you choose? Are you going to choose the path of light and of being positive and choosing the path of love? Or are you going to continue to choose the path of division and polarity and reaction versus response? So we have the choice. That's what the 13 brings us tomorrow. On Sunday, with the one exploring energy, what more is possible? I kind of like that. That's following the eclipse. So anyway, I just wanted to end with that. I thank you all for joining me this week. Welcome to all of those of you who are new. On Monday, again, I will be on Oneness Talk Radio broadcasting live. I will still show up here just like usual for those of you who join me here on YouTube. Have a great weekend, everybody, and much love to everybody. Stay safe, stay sane, look to the future. All right,